our horror, we saw this Vietnamese container ship appear.
A cruise ship booked for Skagway takes a hit in Asia, and registration is still open for this weekend's 26th skiing of the buckwheat. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Tara Bicknell. That news and more up next. The Federal Subsistence Board for Alaska will not release its position on a Village Native Corporation's petition to change management of nearby state fisheries. The board is considering what's called an extraterritorial jurisdiction petition from Angoon's Kootsnuwu Incorporated. The corporation says state managers have allowed purse seiners to take too many sockeyes, lowering the village's catch. It wants the federal government to claim jurisdiction over the Western Admiralty Island fishery and give subsistence a higher priority. The board began hearing about the issue Wednesday at its meeting in Juneau. Peter Probasco is Assistant Regional Director of the Federal Office of Subsistence Management. He said the board will send its recommendation to Agriculture Department Secretary Tom Vilsack and Interior Department Secretary Ken Salazar. But, he said, federal policy prohibits releasing it to the public.
Secretary Salazar and Secretary Vilsack have retained the authority for where that regulation resides to themselves. And so because of that, and it hasn't been delegated to the board, all the board can do is make a recommendation that's confidential, which the secretary will consider along with whatever other information he collects from public, etc.
Probasco said the secretaries usually respond to such recommendations within 4 to 6 weeks. He said recommendations have been kept secret in other petition considerations. Some at the meeting were unhappy the decision will be kept secret, but they said it was not unexpected. Julianne Curry is executive director of the Petersburg Vessel Owners Association.
It's definitely not ideal. I think it's definitely something that we'd be looking forward to working on in the future, but for right here, right now, this is the process we have.
The Subsistence Board will make its decision during an executive session at the end of the public portion of its meeting Friday. Before that, it'll hear from its Southeast Regional Advisory Council. The group includes Haines member Tim Ackerman. Members are also participating in this week's meeting. Representative Peggy Wilson's plan to create an Alaska Transportation Infrastructure Fund is getting some traction in the legislature, but it's unclear whether it has enough time and support to make it all the way through. Wilson, a Wrangell Republican, authored a resolution that would put the fund on the ballot later this year. It needs voter approval because it's a constitutional amendment.
We need to plan for the future, and no matter whether the times are good or times are bad, we still have to take care of our transportation needs. We still have to fix our roads, and if there's any way that we can have roads to resources, the more the better, because that's where our money comes from.
Roads to Resources is a Parnell administration effort to connect isolated mines and other development projects with state highways. Wilson's resolution passed out of the House Finance Committee earlier this month. It's sitting in the Chamber's Rules Committee, waiting to be scheduled for the House floor. Wilson, the House Majority Whip, says she expects the Transportation Fund resolution to move within a week. A separate measure defining how it'll be funded and where money can be spent is still in the Finance Committee. It's been there since last year. A luxury cruise ship familiar to Northern Lynn Canal waters was in a collision in Vietnam that knocked some passengers off their feet. Silver Sea Cruises' Silver Shadow was sailing in deep fog Friday when it collided with a container ship about 5 miles from the Vietnam coast. CNN reports that Silver Shadow passenger Andrew Locke said the foghorn at the stern had been going off consistently throughout the morning. Then the stern foghorn suddenly sounded and louder. Locke and his wife braced themselves for the hit. This is a message Locke posted from his cell phone during the incident that was acquired by CNN.
Through the fog, to our horror, we saw this Vietnamese container ship appear sideways on, and it was as if our ship was perfectly lined up to hit it in the side. So it was a horrifying moment, and in less than about 5 seconds after the ship appeared, we did in fact collide right in the side of it very dramatically.
The passengers, which included many British and U.S. citizens, were called to muster stations, and other passengers said there was confusion, fear, and crying. After about 10 minutes, the captain announced there was no imminent danger. A cruise company statement said the incident occurred as the ship was approaching the pilot station in Halong Bay, Vietnam, and the Silver Shadow incurred limited minor dents, and guest safety was never compromised. They added the ship was fully operational and continued to port a few hours later, where passengers met their shore tours. The company will conduct a full investigation into the incident. Photos show a gash midway down the starboard bow, about level with the first floor of staterooms, and more extensive damage on the port side. Other passengers describe the container ship rolling over at a 90-degree angle, then righting itself. They said the cruise ship's movement pushed the cargo ship, about a quarter the size of the cruise ship, around so that it scraped along the side of the ship. They described substantial damage to the cargo ship, but port operators have said there were no injuries. The Silver Shadow was built in 2000 and carries up to 382 passengers and 302 crew members. It sailed Lynn Canal waters in previous years, and this year will dock in Skagway each week from the end of May to the beginning of September. Buckwheat Ski Classic is this weekend in Skagway. The 26-year-old event brings lazy, infirm, and even a few fast cross-country skiers from around the world to the Log Cabin Ski Trails in British Columbia on Saturday. The event is as much fun for spectators as it is for racers, and both groups can get more information on the race at the Skagway AB Hall on Friday. Online registration is now closed, but racers for the 50K, 25K, 10K, or kids 5K can still register Friday from 5 to 7 p.m. at the AB Hall. There's a new environmental group on the Tongass National Forest. It's called the Greater Southeast Alaska Conservation Community, and it's partly the result of some differences among longtime advocates for fish and wildlife habitat protection. The new organization is taking a different approach than the region's largest conservation group, though there is common ground as well. Matt Lichtenstein filed this report.
Right now, the board of seven, we have combined over two centuries of experience working on Southeast Alaska conservation issues.
Sitka fisherman and attorney Paul Olson is board president for the Greater Southeast Alaska Conservation Community, or GSAC. The board includes scientists, fishermen, and conservationists from Sitka, Juneau, and Petersburg, as well as a University of Montana biologist with extensive field experience in the Tongass. They had a meeting in Petersburg this month, and Olson's optimistic about building membership.
We've worked with a number of conservationists who will be interested in our group, so we feel that we can recruit a significant number of people who've been involved in conservation in Southeast Alaska immediately. And over time, we really want to cultivate people like fishermen and hunters, because that's really our emphasis, is on protecting habitat now rather than trying to restore it later after the damage has already occurred.
Olson says GSAC will work on a variety of issues, including alternative energy sources like heat pumps, which draw warmth from the air or the earth.
It's one of the best things we can do here, is really improve our use of alternative energy.
GSAC disagreed with a draft Alaska Energy Authority plan that recommended wood pellet stoves and boilers to heat homes and businesses. In a recent letter to the editor of the Petersburg Pilot, Olson raised concerns about the impact of wood biomass heat on climate change, asserting that it was neither clean nor carbon neutral. GSAC started speaking out on timber issues late last year. They raised several concerns about the Forest Service's proposed Tonka timber sale plan, a large project near Petersburg. The long-established Southeast Alaska Conservation Council also opposed the sale. Olson says several of his group's board members used to be with SEAC, but they differ on some issues, like SEAC's ongoing involvement with the privately funded Tongass Futures Roundtable. Olson says GSAC has been disappointed with the roundtable process.
Yeah, we feel it's in some sense bypassing the traditional public processes for forest management that have gone on through, you know, the laws signed by President Nixon 40 years ago,
the National Environmental Policy Act.
And we believe that's not a perfect process, but we believe it's the best process we have. It kind of ensures a fuller level of public participation. And over time, the roundtable, as you know, the timber interests have withdrawn. It's devolved into a smaller and smaller amount of groups. And we would like to see the issues that face the Tongass, whether it's alternative energy or old growth timber sales, be addressed with an improved public process and more transparency.
The roundtable originally included a mix of forest stakeholders who spent the past several years trying to find some common ground on often divisive forest issues. Mill owners, the state of Alaska, and several communities pulled out of the roundtable last year after expressing frustration it did nothing for the timber industry. Meanwhile, critics in the environmental community have been concerned about too much compromise from their side. Roundtable members don't see it that way. SEAC Executive Director Lindsay Ketchell describes the roundtable as a forum for hearing other people's perspectives. Ketchell points out that SEAC has a 41-year history in Southeast, and she says the organization and its membership remain strong. While SEAC and GSAC don't agree on every issue, Ketchell sees the new environmental group as a positive development.
This is not a weakening of our organization, and in fact, I just see this as strengthening our movement in general, that people are choosing to make an investment to build another organization that I think will be complementary and synergistic. And in the areas where that we may have some disagreement, that's okay. That's what life's all about, is different approaches, different styles. But in the end, I think it's just going to only help and improve and keep safe Southeast.
Despite some differences, SEAC's Ketchell and GSAC's Olson both expect their groups will be able to work together on common issues. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.
For KHNS, I'm Tara Bicknell. Want to stay in touch with family and friends out of town? Why not send them a link to your local news? Past news reports, along with photos, are kept at khns.org under the local news.